to you, Lord, in whatever is said and whatever is considered this evening. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first item of business, as I look at my watch, it's 7 minutes after the hour. I wonder how many believe that I can preach a 15-minute sermon. You don't have to, I don't have a whole lot of individuals with confidence in me this evening. Well, we anticipate our congregational meeting in just a little while. We'll have occasion to reflect on a number of God's blessings that He has unfolded to us as a church. And we will reflect on our financial picture, and we will ponder how something of the global financial crisis will impact us as individuals, and how it will impact the life and the ministry of the church. We're coming into the final stages of a presidential election with significant implications for our nation. What is going to happen? I have been drawn to speak briefly from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, and I invite you to turn there. In my shorter time of preparation, I've looked back on sermon notes, two sermons preached in 02 on this text, and I have as well been able to type in something of Nancy's notes of Pastor Martin's sermon this past Monday evening on this text. At the end of that message, Pastor Martin shared how he and his wife, Marilyn, the day that it was announced that he had prostate cancer, of how he and his wife knelt by the side of the bed, prayed over this text, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And he summarized, well, dear, there is this which we've got to do, and there is that which God is then going to do. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is, first of all, as you see on your handout sheet, a word of prohibition. The word of prohibition. It is a plain prohibition. You shall do no murder is a plain command. It's a plain prohibition. You shall not bear false witness. And this word, do not be anxious for anything. You shall not be fretfully worried, is as well a plain prohibition. And it is, secondly, it is a prohibition against a fretful anxiety. It is not saying that we cannot have a concern for others, for it's in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20 that we read concerning Timothy, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. So it's the same word of caring, of him being anxious in a sense for others. But what Paul is talking about here is a fretful anxiety. The kind of anxiety that gets all wrapped up in what shall I do? What shall I eat? What shall I wear? What shall I do with my stock? And all the fretful worry that comes up with that. It is a prohibition of the ulcer-creating, sleep-depriving anxiety. It is a prohibition of that Martha-like worrying, where our Lord has to say to her, you are troubled and worried about many things, and urging her to move away from that fretful worry. It is a plain command for us. And if we would violate the law of God by bearing false witness, then we see we have sinned. We've gone against what God has said. And there's a very real way in which we need to look at this text. Do not be fretful about anything, and come to it and say that if I continue on worrying and fretting, I'm going against what God has said. But then secondly, the word of direction. Roman numeral 2, the word of of direction. If the first is the prohibition, be anxious for nothing, then there is a word of direction, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There is something for us to do. We're to stop doing the fretting and we're to start coming to God in our prayer. And if we will do this, then God will bless. But notice with me, first of all, A, the object in the prayerful direction. We are to go to God. We are to let our requests be made known to God. God already knows, but as our Heavenly Father, He wants us to crawl up into His lap and tell Him our concerns. Father, I need this food, and Father, I need this job in order to get this food. Father, I need this retirement income. And it is a present imperative. Keep on letting your requests be made known to God. God wants to have this intimate relationship with us as a father to His sons and to His daughters. So the object. Secondly, B, the nature of this prayerful direction. What is it that we are supposed to do? Well, first of all, we are coming by means of prayer. Here's the broad term for prayer. We bow before God. We let Him know what is going on with us. Further is the word of by supplication, the specific term for petitioning, where we come up into God's lap and we say, Father, this is what I need, and this is what else I need, and this is what else I desire from You. And then thirdly, see the attendant in the prayerful direction. As we come to God, as we come with our petitions, Father, I need this. Father, I very much desire the other. How are we to come? Well, our text tells us that we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's the attendant. And what does it do for us to be thankful to God at the same time that we're petitioning? Well, for one thing, it reminds us of how God is doing this, 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 and the other. And it draws out our heart to have faith in these unknown or faith in regarding to these petitions with the realization that God has already worked in this and the other area. We are, in the language of 1 Peter 5:7, to be casting all of our care upon Him, for He cares for you. We are to come with thanksgiving. One of the manifestations of that one who is filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, and what about verse 20? Is that we have an ongoing gratitude through Jesus Christ. Well, a word of prohibition, as well a word of direction, and now thirdly, the word of promise. The promise will be unfolded as we ask four questions of the text. First of all, A, what is the peace of God in this context? Well, see it there in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. What's the context? Well, in verse 6, it's that we're being anxious or we are in danger of fretting and worrying. And so the opposite of this fretful anxiety is something of a peace. But it's not merely a peace that we have with God because Christ has died for our sins. But it is a peace that we feel. It is a peace that is employed in the realm of our hearts and our minds. It is a peace that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22. So it is that calm that comes over our souls as a direct result of the Holy Spirit graciously bearing fruit in our lives. What is the peace of God in this context? It is the subjective feeling of peace where we are calm in the midst of crisis. And then secondly, B, what is the characteristic of this peace? What kind of peace is it? Well, it is the kind of peace that is described here in verse 7 as the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It is something that cannot be comprehended, certainly is not easily comprehended. It is the peace that makes someone else looking on say, how can you be at peace? Aren't you worried about this? I would be in an absolute mess if I were in your shoes. It is a peace that passes comprehension. And then thirdly, see, we ask the third question, what will this peace do for us? What will this peace do for us? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Philippi was a Roman city. And it was a Roman city because of a Roman military that were stationed in that place. And it is, no doubt, not an accident that the Apostle Paul uses this word that speaks of a soldier sentry that is guarding someone. And it speaks here that this peace of God is now personified, turned into a soldier, and this is what he's going to do. This soldier is going to go around, yes, in the first century with his long flashlight. He's going to turn on his flashlight and look around in our hearts and say, is all well here? Is there anything that is troubling and of concern here? Don't be troubled. The God of the universe is on his throne and all is well and all is going to be well. Trust God by fresh actings of faith. He is on his throne. What's this peace going to do for us? It's going to guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then fourthly, D, what is the ultimate source of this peace? Where does this kind of peace that passes comprehension, where does it come from? He will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It could be literally rendered, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is going to guard our hearts and minds, but he's not going to guard the hearts and minds of just any old buddy, is he? He's going to guard the hearts and minds of those who are in union with Jesus Christ and who are enacting the principles of verse 6. Those who are refusing to let themselves become anxious, and those who are going to God in the general prayer and the specific petitions, coming along with their thanksgiving. But it is those who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can't come to Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7 and say, well, I'm not a Christian. I reject the gospel. I don't want the claims of God on me, but I would like the peace that passes comprehension. No, it comes only in union with Jesus Christ. Get the objective peace with God. God is not angry with me because Christ has died and I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get that objective peace where God is not my enemy. And once we have that objective peace with God, being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that subjective peace that we can feel and experience will come into our lives, even in the midst of the very various crises that God will take us through. Are you in union with Christ Jesus? You may look at the world around you and see troubles coming, your stock is down, there is this problem, there's this physical ailment, there is the other, there is a fear of death, whatever those concerns are. God is holding out for us a peace that is incomprehensible. And it comes in the context of us, first of all, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our part. We trust in Christ. Once we've trusted in Christ, we're not to be anxious. We're to stop it. We are to resolve. And we're not going to do it perfectly. But then we resolve that we're going to go to God in everything and let our requests be made known to him. And as we do so, God's going to do his part. And his part is to send that soldier sentry of the peace of God to guard our hearts and minds through or in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would take this brief meditation and that you would indelibly write it on our hearts. Some of us are more prone to worry and fret and be upset than others. We recognize that. But we know, Lord, that this text is one that all of us need. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw us out with something of a real believing resolve. And we know that even that is going to be the result of your Holy Spirit's graciously ministering to us. That we would see that we need to stop the fretting. And that we would see that we actually need to crawl up into your lap and say, "Oh, Father, I worship you. Oh, Father, here are my specific petitions. And by the way, Father, I am grateful for this and the other that you are doing in my life." Our Father, we do pray that you would give to us something of that humble, childlike faith to see that this is what we need to do, and if we will do that, you will do your part. We pray, Lord, that in the crisis situations, that you would draw us back to an ongoing faith in your person. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.